Jesus. I want to read to you out of Luke chapter 18. It's on page 925 there in your Bibles. Luke chapter 18, because Jesus came up with this parable, and I think it's a marvelous parable that a lot of times we read and we go, what is that all about? That sounds like we're supposed to badger God a lot. Luke chapter 18, page 925. This is the parable of the persistent widow. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." Now, let me just pause right there. If you know anything about that culture, okay, ladies, you need to understand this. Jesus brought a lot of freedom. Because in that day, women were property. Women could be destitute, and you could turn a blind eye towards them. That's why if a woman died, or a man died, and she was left alone in early years, one of the worst things that could ever happen to her. Because you had no rights. You had zero. You got no property. Okay? You didn't get anything. So listen to what happens here. Verse 4, the judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy." Now some of you men are like, wow, I'm going to quote that scripture one day. No, you should not, ever. I'm going to see she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Men, don't say amen. Don't do it. Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns," Jesus is talking about himself here, "how many will he find on the earth who have faith?" He's saying, man, you got to stick with it. You got to stay in the battle. You can't give up. And that's why he said, you got to keep on asking, you got to keep on seeking, you got to keep on knocking. And that's why Paul then reiterates and says, be devoted. Not just a little bit, not just kind of like, oh, I'm just kind of hanging up there. No. Like you're on that wall, like you're climbing those rocks and there is no rope. Be devoted. Be that kind of devoted where you're going to pray and you're going to stay after it. And either God is going to change your heart or he's going to grant your request. And then you will see God working and you won't have to ask, did God ever do something in my life? See, the reason why I think that a lot of people are kind of ho-hum with Christianity is they never pray specifically and they never stay after it. They give up way too quickly. If you've been around me for at least a little bit, you can probably hear it a little bit in the message this morning. I don't usually give up. I stay after things. It drives Sherry nuts sometimes, but I just don't give up. I don't like people who give up. Sorry, if you're a give-upper, quit it, okay? And be a whatever the opposite is, okay? A stick-to-itiveness kind of person. Stay after it. Don't give up. Keep going. And people give up way too easily. They kind of roll over. I had one of my pastor friends one time describe me. This was years ago. He described me as this. He goes, "Alex." This is in the South when I was growing up in the South. He said, "Alex is the hound dog on the porch." And he said, you walk up to Alex and he just wags his tail where, you know, it hits the wood floor, you know, and he's happy to see you, but he's not going to get up, right? And he said, you can come over and pet the hound dog and he's just happy to see you and, you know, and everything else. And he said, but don't try to take his bone. And I thought, you know, that is pretty good description because I'm like, I want to be friendly. I want to be encouraging everybody else. But man, we when it's time to clamp down, it's like, no, this is what we're going to do. We're going to stick with this. We're not going to give up. And sometimes we just give up so easily. We just quit. Jesus commanded us, ask, seek, and knock. Paul says, be so devoted. He even used a compound word. Be so devoted. Cling on to what God has. And don't give up. I want to read this to you and then we'll be done. Because I thought it was so terrific of a way to think of prayer that I've never thought about before until I read this. There's a lady by the name of Virginia Owens that wrote this in Christianity Today years ago. And she says this, Christians have always interpreted the splitting of the temple veil during the crucifixion as symbolic of the liberation from the mediated presence of God. Henceforth, they were free to approach God directly, which is almost like telling someone he is free to stick his head in the lion's jaws. For once you start praying, there is no guarantee that you won't find yourself before Pharaoh, shipwrecked on a desert island, or in a lion's den. This is no cosmic teddy bear we are cuddling up to. As one of the children describes him in C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, he is not a tame lion. Consider Moses, again and again intervening between the Israelites and God's wrath. Abraham praying for Sodom, the widow demanding justice of the unjust judge. But in this combat with God, we must be ready to bear the consequences. Jacob's thigh was put out of joint and he went away lame. However, the most usual experience will be God's decision to put to work the person who cried out to him. Whoever wrestles with God in prayer puts his whole life at stake. Awful things happen to people who pray. Their plans are frequently disrupted. They end up in strange places. I would interject, even in downtown Cleveland, right? Abraham went out, not knowing where he was to go. After Mary's magnificent prayer at the Annunciation, she finds herself in the middle of the Nazareth society. How tempting to put up the stakes, making prayer merely another consumer product. How embarrassing to have to admit not only that prayer may get you into a prison as it did Jeremiah, but also that while you're moldering away in a miry pit there, you have a long list of lamentations and unanswered questions to present to your Lord. How are we going to tell them they may end up lame and vagrant if they grasp hold of this God? Your GPS, your good practical stuff this morning is this. Prayer is putting your head in the mouth of the lion. And what is God known as? What is Jesus known as? The Lion of Judah. I'll tell you, we've got a lot of comfortable Christians, you know, myself sometimes included. I put myself in that lot. And I forget how dangerous and untame this God is, and I treat him more like a little kitty cat than the Lion of Judah that he richly deserves. Did you hear what's happening on the other side of the world? You're helping to plant churches, but there are believers there who have answered that call, had to leave home and family and move elsewhere because of the dangerousness of the gospel. They have put their head in the mouth of the lion. Did you hear what Andy said? Their faith is stronger today than it was before the persecution. Man, we were praying through that thing because we knew that that dude was a new believer, and we were like, oh, man. I mean, he's been taken in and interrogated and the police and all this other stuff. It was just weird. Weird stuff. He had done nothing wrong except proclaim Jesus, and they told him to shut up. And he said, I can't. I can't. I must tell people. I have to. And they were concerned, man, this dude may say, forget this stuff. I'll go back to the way I was living before. I had a pretty good life before. And he did. But instead, he said, I'm going to continue on. And I think that's where sometimes we don't realize that prayer is meeting with the Lion of Judah. That's our God. He wants us close, but he wants us to understand there's nothing safe about this Christianity. There's nothing safe. Absolutely nothing. And we're called to come alongside guys like Andy in prayer, that while we're here and God's called us to a specific work here, and whether you're working as a banker or financial or whatever it may be, God's called us to support guys like him. Financially, prayer, you name it. I want us to bow our heads this morning and close our eyes. And and maybe this morning you've got a prayer request. We're going to do a song here at the end, but have you really wrestled with God? Have you really stayed after something to see if he changes your heart or if he answers it? It is clear in Scripture. Jesus said it. Paul backed it up. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Paul says, be devoted. Grasp a hold of. Never let go. And maybe this morning you've kind of treated prayer like what I have at times, and that is just kind of a, well, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And you haven't realized that you need to get specific. That you need to realize that you're going before the Lion of Judah, who loves you, who has a great plan for your life. But at the same time, he's not tame. He is the Lion of Judah. And that through prayer, God's going to do some amazing things through you. God's going to do amazing things through this church. And as I look back a little over 5 years ago, when there was just a handful of us, and we started this church, and now then there's three different churches in Cleveland, but there's a new one in Indonesia as a direct result of this church walking by faith. That's phenomenal. And that is a God thing. It's not a me thing or we were smart enough or good enough. It was God being the Lion that he is and roaring through our lives. And so, Jesus, we submit to you. We confess that sometimes we've been flipping in prayer life and maybe we don't see an answer for a day or two and we just give up so easily. Lord, may we be devoted. May we cling on to you in prayer. We just pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.